And welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your old brother X and the Coach of Scientist is off streaming something again, so I'll see her in a couple weeks. All right, and we have Mrs. Smith here. Man, I ain't got no flashy nicknames, man. Dog, we on the late night third shift trying to get this shit knocked out. We're here back with you guys again, bringing you a bonus episode. First and foremost, we want to thank you guys for supporting us. Here on the Truth and Transparency Podcast, we talk about everything honestly and truthfully in a transparent fashion. Thank you for supporting us. By the time you are listening to this, we should hopefully be over 3,000 plays across all podcasting platforms. Maybe. Wishful thinking. Who knows? I don't be counting. That's why I'm a PE teacher. All right. But, yeah. So, Mr. Smith, you got any thoughts before we get into it?
Yeah, it's your favorite fed, Mr. Smith, also known as the Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
And I want to thank the listeners for the comments, the plays, the subscriptions. Keep feeding us, we'll keep feeding y'all. Again, at the time that you guys will be hearing this, we'll probably still be on vacation, so we didn't want to leave you guys hanging. Wanted to give you a little piece of a sandwich. And outside of that, again, keep your mental... Keep up with your headpiece, because niggas wildin', and you'll understand what we mean in a minute.
No, hold on. Listeners, you understand. I was here getting ready. You see the title of the episode. We're going to talk about some international stuff. But I saw something at the end of our last recording that I had to share with him, and I was like, dog, this is ridiculous. And this gentleman, this scholarly gentleman, decided, like, yeah, we got to talk about it. Mrs. Smith, why don't you play the clip, and we'll give... details after.
Democrats like to say that no one needs an AR-15 for self-defense. That no one could possibly need all 30 rounds. But when this rifle is the only thing standing between your family and a dozen angry Democrats in Klan hoods, you just might need that semi-automatic and all 30 rounds.
So listeners, for those who can pick up on that, this was a campaign ad. Like, this Negro, yes, it's a Black person, so Black community, we got to slightly hold this up. Jerome Davison, did I say it right?
Yeah.
Decided he put out a campaign commercial saying that as a Black Republican, that Democrats say we don't need defense, need AR-15s for defense, which there's a lot of merit to that. But he didn't just say that in the commercial. This Negro Domus, I won't use that term, that's very derogatory. All right, this African-American person decides to have a whole video where he's posing like he is fucking John Wick with an AR-15, with people who are dressed up in Klan robes, which is very ironic with the Republican Party, but the irony is not lost on me, but it might be lost on him, and pretending like he's going to ward them off with their AR-15. Sir, why? Secondly, you do see you, right? And thirdly, why do you look like you are the long-distance cousin of Herschel Walker?
Oh, I was going to say Michael Irvin, but yeah, it's one of the two. Because like from a side distance, like listeners, if you actually watch the campaign video, homie do look like almost a crossbreed of Herschel Walker and Michael Irvin. And like he has these people in Klan hoods walking up on his house with pitchforks and burning, I guess, steak or whatever. And he's standing there in a suit with an AR-15 talking about Democrats and hoods want to take away your AR-15. I'm like, well, do you not remember that the Ku Klux Klan was created because slavery was abolished and they needed to strike the fear in Black? Do you not know your history?
Like, sir, do you not know that you are Black?
Like, I...
Do you not know? Well, first and foremost, if you are his white constituents, why are you signing up for this?
I mean, you
didn't have to buy any robes or anything. You had already had them in your closets. But, I mean, why would you do that?
I don't know. I just, again, the thing that as you stated so eloquently, the irony in the fact that you have people in Klan hoods and you're saying Democrats. Now, if this would have been like the 1800s when Democrats were Republicans, or Republicans were Democrats, okay, I would have given it to you. But you, no, no. And then on top of that, how the hell are you a pastor, but you're praising AR-15?
Yeah, there's a level of blasphemy. It's not lost on me.
It's so many questions. But then overall, I honestly just want to know, I'm assuming based on this hashtag that he has on the tweet that he's for Arizona, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
Wait, go to this man's page. All right, listen, we're doing some on-air research. So his description says, father, pastor, author, speaker, former NFL and ASU, so Arizona State player, and congressional candidate. So he was from Arizona.
Yeah.
Mr. Smith, I know we don't have a sports center, but do you mind doing some deep diving? Just a little bit. Just humor me, just a little bit.
You know what? Sure. I'm actually within my sports center. Cue the music.
I need to know.
Yeah,
if he was riding the pine, don't put that in your bio.
If you were a Skip Bayless, boy, I'm about to roast the hell out of you. I am so serious. Let's see sports stats, because I really want to know. Okay, so he was a running back.
Okay,
who played at Arizona State, and he's.
Boy, if you don't get your goddamn play 10 games head ass.
Fam.
Boy, if you ain't got 55 yards to your name looking ass, boy.
Fam.
Boy, I got 6 receptions and they all were in the fourth quarter in garbage time looking ass.
Fam. No.
Mr. Smith, hey, you know what you gotta do. Load the clip.
I know this motherfucker did not just put this in his bio. He is the epitome of somebody, no offense to who I'm about to say, who's in the G League that talk about, yeah, I'm in the league, I play ball, you know what I'm saying? You catch me, you can't. No, we cannot. We cannot. Dude, you were in the 90s. Like, you are saying you were in the NFL in the 90s. It is 2022. We don't even know, a lot of people don't even remember Bo Jackson. Who was the thing that they remember? Yo ass. The only people that remember Bo Jackson is because they played Madden. But you played 10 games across 2 seasons. You only had 11 targets and 6 receptions for 55 yards with a 9.2 yard per reception and 1 first down. Brother, no, this is not what you want. This is not what you want. I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know what to say at this point. Like, you trash. You garbage. You are.
You are basura.
I was getting ready to say it. You are ba freaking sura. And so it makes sense now why now it's like, okay, all the people that roasted me in the 90s were of my same skin colors. You know, I'm be a Republican. I'm going to go and go against Democrats. Negro, like, you.
It don't work like that.
It don't. It really don't. And so now it puts everything in perspective. Like, I don't understand within your bio, your message now is the Internet Bill of Rights, prioritizing America, combat corruption, and secure the border.
Boy, if you don't get...
If you don't get your Uncle Thomas... I am actually baffled. I don't even know. You know what? If you don't get your Uncle Ruckus head ass up out of here, please.
Like, he is coming straight from the Herschel Walker line of thought process.
Yes.
He looked like a Madea villain.
He really do with that mini fro, though.
He looked like the beginning of a power villain.
I need you. I need Herschel Walker. I need Clarence Thomas to take a trip to Africa and don't come back.
I don't know, man. I'm a little worried for him. His beard don't connect to his mustache. I don't think he's gonna make it.
That's because he's been eating too much milk and not enough collard greens, if you catch my drift.
You're not wrong though. All right, we're gonna move on. Now that you've heard us ramble for probably about 5-10 minutes, let's go ahead. Oh, right on the dot. All right, so we're actually gonna go ahead and get into the meat of this bonus episode. We're going to talk about traveling internationally. So this will probably be the first of many stories that we may tell over time. Like we said, we're actually going to be traveling the time of this recording or still on vacation. So we wanted to give you a little tidbit, a little taste of what myself and Mr. Smith have done in the past. We've been traveling internationally with each other since 2016?
No. 2015. For you, 2015.
2015, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone a multitude of places. So today we're actually going to come to you guys with a couple of our stories. I'm actually going to go first, and I'm going to talk about the first time I ever traveled out of the country to the wonderful land of red beans and rice, aka Costa Rica, aka I almost didn't come back after the fish that I had there. Woo! Lord Jesus. All right. So where do I begin? That's right. I have to give you guys a little context to the story. So this is young brother X, pre-culture scientist, and yes, he knows the story, so don't worry, listeners. I'm not telling anything she doesn't already know. We getting married anyway. All right, so.
Plus, you know, you have truthful and transparency because you guys communicate.
Exactly. And all those ways are behind me now. I am saved and sanctified.
Boy, if you don't get.
So, leading up to this, I had just finished up my, I want to say like my second year of teaching. I was teaching high school at the time. So the plan was for me to come up to Maryland for a birthday get together for one of our friends. So here's a key factor that I need you to remember. My mother had kept bothering me and nagging me about making sure I had my passport packed. So I'm coming from North Carolina, going to Maryland. This is about a 5-hour drive on a good day, with no real traffic and getting through Quantico. So we'll say about 6 hours on any given day. So I hop in the car, I have myself packed. I even have myself packed for the following week because I'm gonna be staying up there until we actually travel to Costa Rica, but more on that later. So I'm driving. And if you ever made the drive from North Carolina to Maryland, you know there's this particular city that everybody has a disdain for called Emporia. It is the world's worst speed trap.
Yes.
That's all they're known for. Anybody you know that lived in Virginia knows that Emporia is a speed trap. So yep. Thankfully, I didn't get stopped for that. So I'm driving. I get to the exit where it says Emporia. In my mind's eye, I'm thinking, okay, I got my stuff. I'm thinking about like the get together we're going to. Then my mind comes to my passport. So I run through my mind, the Rolodex of all things I have packed. Then I get to my book bag, which I think I have it in there. Keyword, think I have it in there. So literally, I pull off to the side. I check my bag. I realize, fuck, I have left my passport back in Cary, North Carolina, which at that point in the drive, I was about 2.5 hours into it.
No, you done fucked up, right? No. You know you done fucked up, right?
So you know what I did, listeners? That's right. I drove my happy little ass back to North Carolina to get my passport because I wasn't going to be able to get on the flight and go down there if I didn't have it. So I have now driven a total of 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I drive down, get down there pretty quickly, drive back up. So I now complete another 2.5 hours on top of the additional 2.5 hours getting from Emporia to Maryland. Mind you, let's keep in mind, the event starts at like 8 or 9. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Smith.
You are correct. It was 9. No, it was 8. Yes.
So we're at the So I had to get there because we had to get on a party bus.
Yep.
So I get there. The party bus gets there. It's supposed to get there about like 8:30 or whatever. I get there at 8. I literally had to change when I went back to North Carolina because I knew there was no other way I was going to make it on time because I had to stop at my hotel and change. Bruh, it would have been donezo. And for those who know, I would have been hot if I missed that party. Mm-hmm. We just going to protect the innocent on that story.
Yep.
So fast forward, the part I end up making there, have a phenomenal time. Hit Mr. Smith up the other day. I'm like, dog, you phenomenal. You the best wingman of all time.
That will stay. That will stay buried in the treasure chest.
No. That is the black box that you bury in the dredge.
But listeners, let's just say I definitely hit him with the CP with the Chris Paul alley. You know, assist of the night. We're gonna leave it there.
Dog, I numbers were put up. I'm talking about LeBron Game 6 in Boston. Or as you're listening to this, Curry game 4 in this most recent finals. Not at the same level, but still, you get the point.
Yep.
So after that happens, I'm in Maryland chilling for about a week. So I'm like, cool, make sure everything's good. We get to the airport. We hop on the plane. We having a good time. We flying down there. Nothing too crazy. So we get down there. And one thing that Mrs. Smith and our friend that I was traveling with at the time said, remember, this is a marathon, not a sprint.
Message.
My dumb ass thought I was Usain Bolt. So by the time I checked in, put myself down in my hotel room, I get down to the swimming pool. I got like 2 Supermans in both hands. I got another friend trying to get me to get a tequila and ginger ale. And then another person come up and is like, let's take shots. I'm like, Where? So needless to say, I've been drinking a lot, taking shots. Mind you, this is probably about 5-6 in the afternoon. We have been drinking since about 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I am blitz, shit face, donezo, pass out, looking like Peter Griffin after he gets knocked out. Just done. And then my dumb ass does not think, and thank you, Mr. Smith, in advance for what I'm about to say. I wanted to go to the dinner buffet that night, completely shit-faced. I still don't know how I showered. Still don't know how I got dressed. Still don't know how I got down to that buffet. So I'm getting in there. I'm going through the line. I got my plate. Mr. Smith walks up to me and is like, what the hell is wrong with you? I'm like, I'm fine. He says, Negro, you are swaying. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong. And listeners, I want you to understand, he was sitting down when he was doing this. It'd be different if it was like, okay, he's a little stood up. You know, he's standing up. He's trying to get his balance. Listeners, he was sitting. His eyes was low and he's swaying back and forth to the point where I'm looking at him going, you need to take a nap. And he goes, no, I'm good. I'm good. I said, Negro, you don't hear me. You need to go and take a nap. Again, he goes, no, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. I literally yoked him up by his collar and I said, listen to me. You are swaying. Go to sleep. I don't know if it was like the directness of my eyes or whatever, but he looked at me, he said, okay.
Okay. No, I didn't walk. I waddled. I'm swaying away, looking like one of those tuxedo penguins. With a fucking Cheshire Cat grin on. Dog, when I tell you it was bad, I got back to my room. Still don't know how I made it back to the room. I didn't even get on the covers. I went face first into the bed. Done. Knocked out. Now you would think I would be done for the night. I'd be down for the count. But somehow my body is super resilient. And probably about 2 or 3 hours later at the silent headphone party, I wrote back and was like, what's really good? And they all look at me and was like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. And now my eyes are actually open, so I can actually see what I'm doing. Still don't remember how I got to the party either. But we're not talking about that. Needs to say, some other things happened. Fast forward through that. Found out that the resort had a hot tub. We're not going to get into that.
Nope.
So, fun times. So fast forward. For some reason on this trip, no matter what happened, I never made it to breakfast, ever.
He's not lying.
Thank God for that 24-hour bar, because if not, I would have been hurting. This is the reason why every time I go out of the country now, I always make it to breakfast. It's just, I have to, because otherwise I'm going to get a certain type of poisoning.
Huh. I never even noticed that. You're right. Ever since that time, you have always made it to breakfast.
Yes. So I had to, because I needed to get my coffee, get some type of bacon, eggs, omelet, which shout out to all the resorts. Now, if this resort that we're going to does not have good omelets, I'm flipping the station over. Like, I know it's sacrilegious, but I'm going to be Jesus in the tabernacle. Just, but that's beside the point. So we had these walkie-talkies that we used to be able to kind of communicate, because we weren't going to play for international service. Nope. So we was like, okay, cool. All I need to do is let them know in the morning, such, 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 I'm alive. Hulk Riders! Hulk Riders! For those who know, you know what it means.
Oh, man, we got to do that this year. We definitely got to do that this year.
We're going to have to figure that out. I roll up with them. We go to a bunch of different parties. Went to late night pool runs where cats kind of ran their pockets in some water basketball. Shout out to what's the old girl's name?
Oh, God.
You moved out to Australia.
Yeah. Give me a sec. Go ahead. Keep going. I'm going to tell you.
But, dog, when I tell you she was Curry with the shot, how good she was, dudes didn't know how to act. We do that, have a fun time, everybody chilling, have a good time. I'm still intoxicated. There are bits and pieces of this story that I cannot tell you how I got from one place to another, but I forget, and I might be telling this out of order. We literally had to go to this one part that was like off, that was still on the island, but it was like way off. So this is how we know it's on some shady shit, or not shady, but not as professional, not even that. We'll go back with Shady. That works. So yeah. I literally we all meet down at the beach, and we have to walk what's roughly, I'm about to say about a mile, give or take. And we have to walk to this like hole in the wall, kind of like little dive bar type situation. And when I tell you, this shit looked like the Drake, I Better Find Your Love video. Like, if we weren't careful, one of us would have ended up sitting in the chair with our hands tied behind it, because we fell in love with a big booty and a smile.
Yep.
So that happens. That's a phenomenal night. Everybody got to check out the star and the sun and the beach later on that evening. Phenomenal. Now, do I tell them about the booze cruise?
I'm trying to remember which booze cruise that was. Oh. Yeah.
All right, so this particular trip.
And for the record, Laura, that's who you're talking about. Chef Curry with the
shout out to Laura. You down under with the hairy crabs and the wolf spiders, but shout out to you. You phenomenal. You are Curry with the shot. But the booze cruise was always a highlight from our first initial trips, where basically we take all that drinking we did at the all inclusive resort, and we took it to the booze cruise. Got on a boat. Now, here's the crazy part. We on a booze cruise, we drinking, have a good time, people dancing. Mama X and Pastor P, please don't listen to this part. Your son got to be somehow, because I was sitting down in the chair, got to be a judge for the twerk contest.
Jesus Christ.
Mr. Smith, do you remember that twerk contest?
I sure do.
Needless to say, there are videos in the vault that can never be shown in the light of day.
Again, black box.
Black fucking box. We might have to label this the black box series.
I like that. The black box series. That's what we use.
Oh, man. So we're on there. There's twerking going on. A lot of flexibility is being demonstrated. A lot of dancing, a lot of good times. Again, a lot of drinking. And there might have been people doing body shots. Who knows? But I'm just going to move on.
I mean, technically speaking, the two people that I remember that were doing the body shots were together. So,
you know. You're not wrong. I mean, I remember other ones, but we're not going to talk about those.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
Exactly. walking on. So needless to say, it was phenomenal time. I'm trying to think, did I miss anything? Was the person jumping off the boat Costa Rica, or was that Jamaica?
That was Costa Rica.
Wow, okay, listen to this. This is gonna be the last part of my story, then I'm gonna turn it over to Mrs. Smith. So we're on the booze cruise, so we end up stopping off at like one of these like smaller like side islands. So one of the rules they made for us, which mind you, you're already telling drunk people rules that they're not gonna follow, even though it's for their safety. So we literally get to one of these side islands. Everybody has like little buoys, and everybody's like either on the boat or walking off to the island. Some people were swimming over to the island. I'm gonna protect the name. A certain bottles person decided to not listen to the guides, and he goes on to this. Oh, sorry, the booze cruise was on a 2-tier boat, I think. Yes.
Well, yeah, it was about two decks, but he was on the top deck. Well, I know that for sure.
He was on the top deck. All we know is we were told, do not jump off the boat. Everybody's chilling. I'm smack again. And literally, all you hear is splash. Nick, why did you do that? What? What in the world? Oh my God. And you see bottles like, It was like, really? And then if you know bottles, like we know bottles, that's not surprising at all.
That's quite
hilarious.
It's just kind of like, huh, okay, fair enough. I'm just going to end your story this way. The last party was at a villa.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. The last party was at a villa. And listeners, if you've ever watched the Pop That video by French Montana and Rick Ross, that's what that villa looked like. Like, I bullshit you not. It looked exactly like that. You walk in the front door, and when you walk out, you have a view of the cliffside of Costa Rica. That has got to be one of the most elegant views I've ever seen in my life. And that shit was like, that party was lit as hell. Although I don't know why I decided to jump in a pool and my Egyptian outfit. I don't know why I did that, but again, alcoholic decisions. I'll say that.
Dog, this is how much I did not remember that you unlocked a memory in my head. Dog, there was a proposal at that party.
Oh, I got this. I remember that. Okay. This will be the last one, but you're getting your kicks out of this. Trust me. So this guy who had been, you know, he had brought his girl on a trip, you know, he was a solid dude too. You know, everybody
about proposal and everything.
Yeah. So everybody's in like their toga. Well, I don't think it was a toga. I want to say it was an Egyptian, but I'm not sure. No, it was toga. It was a toga.
It was so because we almost got stopped at leaving the resort because they thought we sold sheets with some Negroes, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. So, all right, you know, everyone's kind of partying. It's a good time. We're vibing out, whatever. And then the music stops. Everybody just kind of turns like, all right, what's going on? And we realize that homeboy is not dressed like he's dressed nicely, right? And then his girlfriend is, you know, she got a nice little dress on, whatever. Cool. So, you know, he starts talking, whatever. And then out of nowhere, he just drops to one knee. So everybody's like, oh, shit. Oh, and we all huddle around. And you would have thought that somebody got injured on the football field. Because the next thing you hear is, give him some space. Give him some space. Everybody shut up. Let him do his thing. So he says, you know, oh, I can't imagine my life without you. Da, da, da. Will you marry me? And she goes, yes, for the second time.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say
what?
What? Say what? Yeah.
Listeners, the next thing you hear from us is, yeah. Oh.
Because we didn't know the backstory. All we knew was that there was going to be a proposal.
And it went through her second time. Boy, it was like, you know how you had a sporting event and the wave goes around the stadium? It was like the first wave was a yay, and then real quickly it was a ooh, and then the third wave was a hey, we're just gonna do it anyway. And they had some fire pictures. we're going to go ahead and fast forward that story and say they did not make it because the very next year on that same trip, he was single.
But we're going to leave that as it. Although there were some other small things. Side notes, we won't go into them, but please be careful going down a mountain when you have to go have some to relieve yourself, because you will be found out. And
oh, I forgot about that.
And please make sure your soul don't get snatched during the party.
I'm gonna move on from that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right, Mr. Smith, I'm gonna turn the floor over to you. You can take it ahead with your story. But I think I did a good job talking about Costa Rica.
Oh yeah, yeah. You protected majority of the innocent, and you kept it clean. The things that we will not talk about, you made sure not to talk about. So we good. All right, cool. Okay. So for my Black Box series, listeners, strap in, because this one's going to be a doozy. For clarification, all of my friends know it, and they still don't believe it. And I do have videos to prove at least one of said stories. So try me if you want to. So it's 2012. And one of our alumni, is throwing a international trip for those that want to go and try to be with all Black people. Small trip, like 20, 25 people. So me and my ex at the time, I was like, hey, this would be a nice little, graduation present for you. Listeners, before you say anything else, because I already know what y'all about to say. No, I do not have money. I didn't do anything for 4 or 5 months to save up for that trip. And I made a lot of mistakes and I've learned from them. But do not say I have money. So
he had money. That's what she's trying to tell you.
Sure.
He had money.
Yeah.
He don't have it now.
No. we get on the plane, go to, and mind you, this is my second time on a plane. And my first time out the country. For my ex, this is her first time on a plane and first time out the country. So it was a hilarious ride. So we pull up to the resort. And the resort's like, okay, you're checked in. You can leave your bags. If you guys want to change to your swimsuit, just go up to the swim bar. We'll move your bags to your room when it's ready. Cool. So we pull up, see everybody. Hey, dap people up. What's going on? Yada, yada, yada. Again, it's about 15, 20 of us. So, good. When it comes to international trips, for us Black people, here's a tip. Follow the other Black people. You will, as soon as you see a migration of them, you know what time it is. You know what they're going to be on. You know you'll hear some Frankie Beverly and Maze. You might hear some Chris Brown, some Luther Vandross. It depends, but you get what I'm saying. So we're at the swimmer bar, and there's these Canadians that are across the pool. And, they drink whatever. So, for the white people that do listen to this, y'all hip, so y'all know what I'm about to say. You know how white people that are not really that hip try to insert themselves into everything because they're just like, oh, my God, I got to feel that. Yeah. So we're sitting there drinking, minding our business. And then they come over. They're like, hey, you guys look rad. You look cool. Let's party. All right. Cool. So to protect the innocent. Certain individual came out with a beer funnel and decided to make it a liquor funnel. And he basically was like, all right, we're going to do liquor funnels. The Canadians versus us. The Canadians kept spilling their liquor. So the person said, if you spill it again, one of y'all, everybody has to take a body shot off one of y'all teammates for your team. Of course, listeners, they did it again.
Yep.
So the person said, went to the bartender, was like, let me get 5 shots of, I think it was rum. Person lays down on the thing, he pours the body shot. And of course, listeners, we're not newbies to this. We're like, okay, they're just going to drink the body shot, no problem. Listeners, the next thing that we saw was, all right, you're good to go. The first person literally took her nose to the person's belly button and snorted the liquor.
Nigga!
I don't know how I reacted. I don't know what I did, but I just remember looking at everybody and all of us kind of had the same reaction, just internalized differently. So, of course, that individual was like, okay, this has got to be a fluke. We're just going to pour another one and act like that didn't happen. So he pours the next shot. Second person, the last person comes up, looks at her teammate and says, "You're going down." And when I tell you that was the deepest snort of liquor I have ever seen in my damn life, I was like,
that shit touched her brain matter.
I said, what the hell? And the rest of us black folk was just like, we're good. We're done. Apparently. And I mean, bear in mind, listeners, I was probably 24. So I was just slightly removed from college. We thought we were hardcore. Nope.
Nah.
Nope. We weren't shit. So, okay. First day in the books, already an eventful one, right? Next morning, go to breakfast, get our fruit, get our omelets, sit. And this trip, it was technically thrown by two different sets of people. Now, the first set of people, the good ones, they actually had a plan. They had ocean view rooms and everything like that. The second set of people, they did it the shiesty way. And unfortunately, I booked through the second set of people. So my room was like in the corner, but you could kind of see, you could see the ocean. But like these people that the first set of people booked through, they could literally get up, walk out their room, and they're on the beach. Like that's a vibe, right? So, okay, this trip was so just, you know, nonchalant. It was literally, every day was literally wake up, get drunk on the beach. That was it. That was literally the itinerary. You would eat breakfast, you would put on your swimsuit, we would all migrate to the same part of the beach, and we would just be kicking it all day, drinking, because there's a bar over there. So, shout out to my homegirl. We're going to call her, let's call her Jamar Chase.
Fair.
Yeah, fair. We're going to call her Jamar Chase. Okay, so we'll say Miss Chase. So, Miss Chase, you know, I've known her for a little bit. You know, me, her, and my ex, we're just talking, chilling, whatever. And we start drinking, and we're drinking, and we're drinking. And after a while, we're like, we've been out here for so long. Me and my ex look at each other and realize that we lost Miss Chase. So we're looking around. We're just like, yo, where's Miss Chase at? They're like, oh, she's in such and such room. We're like, uh-oh. Because bear in mind, Miss Chase did not like this person. So we're trying to figure out why she's in his room. So we go to his room and we like, yo, where's Miss Chase? She's like, oh, she's in the bathroom. Miss Chase is done. I'm talking like couldn't even eat room service, hugging the porcelain guys. I mean, she's slumped, right? So my ex is like, yo, we got to get her out of here. We got to get her out of here. I'm like, okay, bet. So I pick her up and carry her from said person's room up a flight of stairs, down the hall, to the left, and all the way around the corner to our room. So we lay her on the bed and make sure that, you know, dry her off, make sure she's covered. And then, of course, anybody that drinks a lot of alcohol, you start to get sleepy.
So, oh, that is not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say get handsy, but we're not talking about that. Moving on.
I mean, me and my ex did get handsy, but with each other.
Wait. We're not talking about, like, Jamar Chase handed, right?
No! No.
I mean, the listeners want to know, man. The listeners want
to
know.
No. So Miss Chase was in our bed on the edge, knocked out. Me and the ex went into the bathroom to get handsy.
Ah, carry on.
Yeah. And then came back out, and because of handsy plus alcohol, we got sleepy. Now, I don't remember us getting in bed because of so much alcohol. I just remember waking up at a certain point and it is now dark. And I'm like, oh, okay. And of course, any male listeners, how would you feel if you're waking up from your liquor slumber, you look to your right, and your at-the-time girlfriend is there. You look to your left, and another girl's in bed. And then you look down and you're like, I have shorts on, but I'm confused. Like, what is happening right now?
Like, what happened?
I know. Like, wait a minute. So then, as I hopped out of bed, I realized, oh, right. She was locked. She was intoxicated. You know, we didn't want her to be left in that room alone. If she would have got sick, at least we could have helped her. So cool. So Miss Chase wakes up. And she's like, my bag is in such and such room. I need my bag. I said, okay, you stay up here with this person. I'm going to go get your bag. So I head back down to the room that her bag was in. Said person's roommate and the roommate's, we're going to say girl for the weekend. I guess that's a good way to put it.
Vacation bag? Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, vacation bag. They are sitting outside of their room in their drawers. And I'm like, what is happening right now? So I go up to him and he says, I have used every room key we have. None of the room keys work. I said, okay. Did you go to the front desk? He's like, no, because look at me. I said, touche. I'll be right back. I go to the front desk because I already knew what his room number was. Got a new key, came back, unlocked the door. When I tell you, this man was like, he literally got up in his hungover / drunken stupor, hugged me and was like, you know, I love you, man. You know, I love you. I'm like, I love you too, but this is a little bit uncomfortable. I just need to get such and such bag. Got him off me. Got the bag, got upstairs. Miss Chase ended up going back to her room so she'd get ready for dinner. So we go outside for dinner. We're eating, just kind of, you know, talking about it, just, you know, cracking jokes, just trying to make light of the situation because, you know, Miss Chase was hungover as hell. And then we get the word that everyone's like, yo, we're actually going to go out tonight. We're going to Margaritaville. We're like, y'all want to go? We was like, sure. Miss Chase goes, yeah, I'm a see if I can go out, but don't count me. You know, I'll see what I can do. So for those that don't know, for international travel, they always tell you when you're on the resort property, nobody really bothers you unless it's hotel staff. But once you go off the property, you are free game. And they weren't lying. So we took a shuttle bus from the hotel to Margaritaville. At the time, Uber was still like in its infant stages and we were not going to do a taxi. So we took the hotel shuttle and got to Margaritaville. Margaritaville was dope, you know, had some really cheap drinks. They were really good. And so out of nowhere, the two trip planners were like, hey, do y'all want to go to a strip club?
It's looking spicy.
Now, me and my at the time girlfriend had never been to a strip club before. So we were like, I looked at her and I said, what do you think? She said, fuck it, we're on vacation. Let's do it. It's all right, cool. Miss Chase goes, I ain't got the energy. I already feel queasy. I'm going to take the shuttle back. I'll see y'all when y'all get back. Cool. Now, to get from Margaritaville to the strip club is a hike, a little bit of a hike up. And ladies, you're going to understand this when I tell you this. We're going up a hill on cobblestone. And I'll say half the ladies had heels on. So when I tell you, boy, you want to talk about some gentlemen that was walking two ladies at a time, making sure they walk. So I had, shout out to Wakesfield. I had her in one hand. I had, my time girlfriend in the other hand, and we're just walking steadily. So, you know, the whole time that we're walking up there, Jamaicans are just trying to sell us everything known to man.
What were they selling? And, talk to me. What were they selling?
So, all right, number one, you had the person on the grill selling that authentic jerk chicken. Said, okay, cool. You know, not yet. We good. Then we had somebody try to sell us a bicycle. Somebody tried to sell us a mixed CD. And then, listeners, somebody tried to sell us their child.
What in the fuck was that?
And I was like,
Nino?
El Nino was about to be passed off for like $100.
Wow.
That's crazy. You know, so we're like, you know, nah, we're good. What'd you tell him? We was like, nah, we don't, no, we good. We don't, no, we good. So we get to the top of the hill. And there's these three Jamaican guys that are standing on a wall. And they come up to each of the guys or three of random guys, including myself, and they try to dap us up. When they dap us up, I feel a bag in one of their hands. And immediately the first thing I think of, because again, listeners, I am a fed, narc. Those are drugs, which means either you're going to have a drug lord or you're going to have the feds come and knock on them. Nope, I'm good. I don't need that. I'm straight. I'm good. No. So we, you know, we all shrugged it off, kept walking. Now, scary part of the night. We get to the strip club. Outside of the strip club is 20 Jamaicans playing dominoes at like different tables. Of those 20 Jamaicans, three of them had machetes stabbed into the ground.
I'm in danger.
We look at them. They look at us. We look at their machetes. We look back at them. They look back at us. And we just walk real slow past them to get to the strip club. And the whole time I'm just like, what the hell did I get myself into?
Right.
Cool. So we get to the strip club and they're like, hey, it's $10 to get in. We're like, oh, bet. This is easy money. Yeah, it's got this. Listeners, we get inside and the first thing that I will never forget, four flat screens of porn going on at the same time. I mean, I'm talking like Buffalo Wild Wing flat screens up at the top. And it's full on porn. Like old girl getting back shots, old girl taking a bit. And I was like, what the hell am I looking at? So we get in. There's a nice like a row of seats for all of us in the front. And again, this is Jamaica. So weed is not frowned upon out there. So all the locals are lighting up. I'm pretty sure I got a contact high because of them lighting up. So listeners, I want you to make sure you understand for this next series of things. We were only there for one stripper. One. Okay. Please remember that throughout this entire time. This is only one person. So we get up there. And side note, for at the time, one American dollar was like 78 Jamaican dollars. So I probably had like 5,000 Jamaican dollars, which is probably like 50 bucks or some shit. I don't know. Something crazy.
I was about to say, you're not making a case for you not having money.
Again, that was 2012, not now.
So you had money. You don't have money now.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
So the stripper comes up. You know, she's okay in the face, has a decent body. She starts, you know, doing her thing. She's stripping, whatever, cool. You know, gets fully naked. So we're just like, okay, cool, no problem. She takes four blunts and sticks them inside her vajayjay and lights them. And bends over so that we are seeing the blunts in her orifice. And her orifice is blowing away.
Oh, wow.
From that orifice up into the air from the smoke.
Who gave you the right, the permission, the audacity?
If you don't get that bullshit out of my face, bitch.
Just wow.
When I tell you, our whole side went, oh, shit. And we just started throwing a whole bunch of Jamaican money. I think I threw like $200 Jamaican dollars, which is what, $3 maybe? So, all right, she's dancing. Mind you, she's dancing with one blunt in her mouth and three blunts still down there. And we're just like, how is this physically possible? Okay, cool. So, she, you know, the bouncer comes up with a cup with two cups. There's one cup of water for which she puts the blunts in when she's done. Then he gets another cup, which is a wad of ice that she cannot break with her hand. She cannot break with her hands at all. She tries. She sticks it inside her vajayjay again, puts the cup at the center of the stage, dances for about, say, a minute and a half, stops, turns around, bends over, and is shooting individual ice cubes from her orifice into the cup, and is not missing. Like before with Chef Curry with the shot boy, it was her. Like she was not missing. So again, we're just like, what in the hell are we looking at? This is a lot. She puts the ice, all the ice is in the cup. And the bouncer takes the cup away and gives her a bottle of Red Stripe. Now, the bottle is corked. It still has the stripe on it. So, I mean, it still has a little plastic on it. So it's a fresh bottle. She takes the bottle, goes to the back of the stage, So listeners, if you listen to this, just imagine, close your eyes and imagine that there is someone that is probably about, I would say about 20 yards in front of you. Maybe 15 yards in front of you, right? So that person, which is a stripper, gets on her back, kicks her legs back, and puts the red stripe in her vajayjay again, empties the entire bottle in there. She takes the bottle out, does the little shake thing to show that it is, there's nothing else in there, puts the bottle down, and when she kicks her legs forward, she shot that shit so far, I was in front of her, technically. Remember how I said it was 15 yards? The shit landed at my feet.
I know you was traumatized.
I looked at the people that was in our group, and everybody said, yeah, it's time to go. We need to go, because I don't know. We can't handle anything else. We're good.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
So we leave. And as we're leaving, I look at Wakesfield and I say, hey, what did you think of that? And her exact words, I will never forget. Fuck her. Fuck that bitch. Fuck her. She basically just said, our vaginas ain't shit. To which my ex replies, I don't want my vagina to smoke weed and crush ice. I'm good with what it does already. So again, so you know, we didn't have to now walk down the mountain. Now, of course, ladies, you know, at this point, ladies have been in heels all night. Feet are hurting. You got to walk down cobblestone. We got to go through them same people. And of course, the Jamaicans don't play. Like, they had military police in Jeeps I believe it was M16s or M4s strapped. They are driving around the property. We're like, yo, this is crazy. So we finally get down the mountain. Get down the hill. We pull up in front of Margaritaville. We're like, you know what? The last shuttle should be coming about this time. So we can just pull up. That way we ain't got to get a taxi. And we already heard that the taxis are a little shady because, you know, some taxis will get you where you need to go. And some taxis, you don't come back. But
no, so, you do not.
So this taxi driver is like, hey, I take all of you, no problem. And we're like, there's 15 of us. No. So this white couple, drunk as hell, say, hey, bro, you can take us. And I will never forget, one of the people in our group was like, dead couple walking. So, you know, they get in the taxi, the shuttle comes. And at the time of this, I forgot one part. As we got down the hill, again, the people are trying to sell us stuff. Said person that was trying to sell us a bike and a mixtape, he goes, you want live chicken for you. Damn. And we look back at him and said, what the fuck are we going to do with a live chicken? He said, oh, you get KFC, you got wing, you got breasts, you got thighs, fry it up real good. I said, hey, yo.
Dog, listeners, that reminds me of, when this comes out, you will have already heard this, but that reminds me of the Florida story we just talked about.
Dog, I'm just like, what are we going to do about this? All right, so anywho, we get back on the shuttle, and we're just kind of like, what the hell? So the next day, same thing, we go to breakfast. You know, then we go meet up with everybody on the beach at that corner, and we just talk about what happened the night before. And everybody's like, yo, what? That happened? Damn, that's crazy. And we just kind of tripping out. So we're like, yo, we need to have a farewell party. It was like, bet, let's talk to the people up front and see if we get some speakers. Hotel is nice enough. They lend us some speakers. We get somebody playing music off their laptop, and we just start jamming, right? And of course, everybody that went to an HBCU or them been around HBCU people, you know we can make a party happen. The party started off with the 20 of us. And then out of nowhere, more and more residents that were staying at the hotel came out, was like, is this a hotel party? We're like, no, this is our party, but you're free to join. Our party went from 20 HBCU people, or 15 and some stragglers, to well over 60 people. Like, and it just shows you like how melanin internationally is so elegant, so fierce, can make something happen out of anything. It was crazy. But the highlight of that night at the end was they had a hot tub, a public hot tub. When I tell you that hot tub was so boiling, I will never forget one of the guys said, dog, you could make Quaker Oats oatmeal in this bitch. Somebody said, raisins and walnuts? He said, hell no, nigga, apples and cinnamon. And I swear to you, all of us died laughing. And I remember getting in that, and it took me like a minute to get adjusted to it. And then once I got adjusted to it, I was like, I know my skin is going to hate me in the morning, but this actually feels kind of good. But it was like, yo, you are cooking. You are minute rice right now. Like, bruh. So at that point, you know, all right, it's the last night. Everybody trying to get their boot, you know, trying to get their last little, you know, couple of action or whatever.
You mean some reading a Bible scriptures together.
Sure. Yeah, we'll go with that. Reading very intimate Bible scriptures. Yes. But, you know, wearing our all white, just, you know, jamming, whatever, and everything was cool. We took a picture, and then folks was trying to scheme, and some folks got fortunate, and a lot of people didn't. And, we got back on that plane. I just was like, this is going to be one of the most interesting trips ever. But on the way to the airport, which is the last thing, you know, they said, hey, how did you guys feel about the strip club? We was like, oh, well, we don't have nothing to compare it to. You know, that was our first time. Everybody that went out that night said, wait, what? I said, yeah, that was our first time. The exact words next coming out of their mouth was, you can never go to American Strip Club again. It will never beat that. And I said, really? He said, yeah. Basically, you're going to look at them dancing and be like, that's cute. Can you smoke weed out your vajayjay? Can you shoot red stripe 20 feet? Can't? You don't deserve my tip. I'm not going to say they were right, because I done seen some things and I'm just like, that's impressive. Shout out to Isis. Shout out to Mercedes. And shout out to...
Shawty Red.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. I forgot about that. Doing yoga on a stripper pole is... But yes. So that is the end of my Jamaica story for the Black Box series. And the moral of the story is make sure you know who you're going out with, because you'll definitely have some stories you can say around when you're kicking back at the cookout that we were just at. Talk about that stuff and laugh.
But all the time. So listen, thank you for letting us listen to share some stories with you. If you really like, we really might actually turn this into a Black Box series. Stories that we talk about, that there's so much that we can share. There's so many in our 10 plus years of friendship. We've accumulated many of stories, and we might even have some friends come on who've had some stories. Just who? But with that being said, we're actually going to close this out. Yeah, so you can always check us out on our social medias at TheTNTPod123 on Twitter. Hit us up on Instagram at Truth and Transparency Pod. Hit us up on Facebook at The Truth and Transparency Podcast. And then you can always email us. Hell, you might even email some of your stories you want us to read on the podcast. You can always email us at TruthandTransparencyPod123@gmail.com. For Mr. Smith and myself, if this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, all of our guests, both past and present and in the future, they're grateful. The Culture Scientist is grateful, even though she's streaming something right now. Mrs. Smith is grateful. I'm grateful. And with that being said, we'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
International Players Anthem.